The Holy Gospel, according to Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. This will serve as our sermon text this morning as well. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." After leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took him along in the boat, just as he was. Other small boats also followed him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were splashing into the boat so that the boat was quickly filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown?" Then he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Be still, peace." The wind stopped, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the gospel lesson. I'll read the last two verses. As Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it's easy for us in times of trial, in times of troubles, to turn on God. There's questions that immediately come to our mind when we face some difficulties or hardships. Does God not know what's going on in my life? Even worse, does God not care about what's happening in my life? Or worst of all, is God not even able to do anything about it? These are the questions that enter our minds when we face challenges. The disciples themselves faced a similar situation in our text, and those questions are apparent in their minds in the way that they reacted and how they responded to the circumstances that they were in. But they were led through the course of time to wonder, who then is this? And then also to know, this is the one who cares about me and all of the troubles that I face. Most importantly, because this is the one who cares about the greatest troubles that I face. This is my Savior. Jesus had spent another long day of activity, full of service, full of caring for other people, and he's exhausted by it. You can tell he has no energy left. He spent his times on boats often because that would reduce the number of people that were pressing down upon him in crowds. But even there, what do you see? You see boats following, people still trying to press upon him, always wanting to see and to hear, always wanting to be cared for, to have needs and to be helped in their troubles. Mark's opening words of this text lay out the situation for us and present that exhaustion that Jesus had. It was a typical day for Jesus, not unlike so many for him. On that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." It was evening. It had been a long day. And Mark tells us in the rest of the chapter what Jesus was busy doing during that entire day that is now evening. He was teaching with many parables, and people were eager to hear, eager to see him, eager to be cared for by him. That was the reason for the parable of the sower that Jesus told in this chapter. Many people, all kinds of people, were coming to him to listen to the word of God from Jesus, and some of them weren't always coming with the right attitude or with a good intention, like his enemies who were seeking for a way to trap him in his words and already plotting to kill him at this time. So he taught them in parables. Or like those for whom that message that he was speaking tirelessly in his care for them was being choked out by the joys and pleasures or the worries and concerns of this life. So many healings and so many people came to him just for that physical care that they needed. And the faith in Jesus, their Savior, was choked out by all of those concerns for those worldly things. Then troubles came for others, and the faith that sprang up so quickly through the Word just as quickly withered because of those troubles. And yet for every single one of those people, Jesus still cared. He still cared for them. And for some for whom the Word took root and produced fruit of faith, Jesus cared for them too, all of them, no matter what their situation or circumstance. So that when evening came, Jesus was tired, exhausted from the care that he showed for each, the care that he showed for all. So he sought respite in the boat and then soon fell asleep into a peaceful sleep. And that tells us so much about Jesus too. Yes, as we'll surely see, this one is the Son of God, truly God himself. But look also at this. In his exhaustion, his never-ending need to care, he sleeps. This is one place in Scripture that speaks of Jesus sleeping, resting, because he was tired, physically exhausted. And we shouldn't pass that by without thought, because it demonstrates something else very clearly to us that is important for us to know. This Jesus, who is true God, is also very truly fully man. And Jesus, according to his human nature, wore out. He grew tired. He needed to sleep, and to sleep deeply, so much so that a storm that almost sunk a boat, where Jesus was probably, surely, even getting splashed by water, and he was sleeping soundly through it. Well, the disciples during this time were doing all that they could to keep that boat afloat. We feel like that at times too, don't we? We can do and do and do some more and work so hard and so diligently, only to realize that oftentimes we're in situations that are beyond our control. We are in deeper than we can handle. We are in way over our head in the troubles and the trials that we face in life. And sometimes God allows us to see those so that we would stop doing and looking to ourselves to help the situation, to realize that they are beyond what we are able to bear. The disciples discovered that day on the boat. Some people say that they were overreacting in this storm, but that's likely not the case. I'm pretty sure that this was a very real danger. The boat was quickly filling up with water, and it doesn't take an expert fisherman to know what happens when your boat fills with water. That boat certainly was going to sink, so it appears, and the disciples were right to respond in the panic that they had. Well, they were wise to turn to Jesus. They perhaps could have called upon him sooner. Nevertheless, they did. But in the midst of their plea to Jesus to help, to care, to save, to help them in their trials that seemed that would surely take them down into the sea, that made their faith wither, as they turned to Jesus, they accuse him of not caring. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown?" Jesus, don't you care? Such a question should never be asked of God. It shows such a lack of faith. It shows such an ignorance of Jesus, of his love, his perfect love, and his perfect care for all of us, for all of our needs, to help us in every trial. He does care. He cares about everything that we face, every trial and every hardship. Yet in the heart of trial, we're tempted to believe, if not even accuse, that he doesn't care about us. What a grave mistake that is. So Jesus responds by once again showing his care for their earthly troubles. in spite of their lack of faith, in spite of their verbal assault on Jesus himself, what does he address first? Not the disciples for their lack of faith. First, he addresses the wind and the sea, their most immediate concern. Why? Because he cares. Then he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind stopped, and there was a great calm. That was first for Jesus. He cared for their physical concerns, and he showed it by delivering them from a storm that was beyond their ability to handle. He saved them from drowning and physical death in that moment. Friends, Jesus cares for you too. He cares about all of your earthly trials, all of your physical concerns. And perhaps he may even grant relief from them, perhaps even miraculously in ways that you may never even know, like he did here. But even if he doesn't, friends, it's not for a lack of care for your troubles. May we always believe, may we firmly trust his love and his care, even when those storms of our lives rage on for us. But there's even more evidence of Jesus' care for them, because he dealt not only with their physical need, he also dealt with their spiritual need. He addressed the bigger problem that plagued them, their lack of faith in him. He then turned to them and said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" Now understand, when this matter occurred for them in the life and ministry of Jesus, it was only a few short months into his ministry by that time. But even in that time, they had seen so much from Jesus. They had seen him care deeply for so many. They had seen him heal. They had seen him drive out demons and rescue and save again and again, tirelessly, day after day. But more than that, even, already by this time, they were shown who he truly was and what he truly came to this earth to do. They were there when they heard John the Baptist point to him and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yes, this is the one who cares about your greatest need, your greatest concern, and your greatest trouble, that of your sins. And he was the one sent from God to take those sins away. They knew that. Nathanael, one who was on the boat, had exclaimed about him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Jesus even had declared his power over death, not just physical death, but spiritual and eternal death, when he had said to them before, "Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life." Surely these words from Jesus would have built and strengthened some faith, some trust in him, even in the face of physical death, that this one has our eternal welfare in his hands, and we can rest assured in him. And yet, sadly, in the moment of trial, they didn't maintain their trust, and they turned on him. But then they were granted once again, in God's grace and concern for them, a profound demonstration of his care for physical as well as for spiritual needs. So that when Jesus commanded, they had to ask themselves, "Who then is this? Who else does such a thing that he speaks and it happens just like that? As great as that storm was, just so great is the calm that comes after a simple word from his mouth. It's the Creator of all things who speaks his almighty word, and such things come to pass." And then they stand in awe as they realize once again that they are in the presence of the divine. Only God can do these things that this man has just done. And it creates fear in them. A great fear. They feared a great fear from this event and Jesus' command over these natural powers. But is the nature of their fear greater doubt? Is it terror at the thought of their sinfulness, their frailties and shortcomings? Could they even be terrified at the thought that they themselves have just accused this one and stood over him as a teacher and rebuked him with such harsh words, "Teacher, don't you care?" Or their lack of trust in this one, "We're about to drown." Of course, our reaction when we encounter the divine, the almighty, the holy God in the face of our weakness, and even in the face of our petulance toward that God, "Don't you care about me at all, God?" It's natural and right to fear as a terror over sin. Why would I ever doubt the Almighty One? Why would I ever question the love and the concern that he has for me? Yes, I should be terrified. But we pray, and then we also recognize that this fear is so much more than the terror of the law. Rather, these events were even more so producing in them the very thing that they lacked, that Jesus recognized that they needed: faith in God. More specifically, faith in Jesus as the Christ, who is that Almighty God. And yes, even more than that, faith in Jesus Christ, who cares about me, about my life and my welfare so much that he is here to rescue me for all eternity. If we have any doubt about Jesus' power to save and his desire and willingness to do just that, we need only look at the reason why he was on that boat in the first place, why he was on that Sea of Galilee in the flesh, why he was on the earth at this time, gathering those disciples around him, healing all those diseases, calming these storms, teaching those important lessons. Because he cares. Because he cares eternally about the salvation of your souls. Not just the deliverance of your life from every trouble and trial that could ever come up for you. No, your eternal trouble and trial. The truth is that he may not spare you from a catastrophic death. The truth is that those disciples could very truly have drowned in that sea on that day. But God's love for them would not have been any less, and his ability to save them would not have been diminished in any way. And this was the critical lesson that those disciples needed to learn. That God cares, and God had the power to save them, so that when the storms like that arose in their lives, when those physical storms arise in our lives, or even metaphorical storms, I don't turn on God. I don't turn away from God. I don't grow weaker in my faith in his care for my soul, or in his ability to rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. No, when those troubles, which are very great, when those challenges arise in my life, I trust him more. I turn to him first. I lean on him with greater faith. I cling to him with all my might, knowing that I'm hanging on for dear life to my Savior God, who loves me. My Savior God, who cares about me. My Savior God, who is powerful enough to save me from every single evil that threatens my body and my soul. How do I know this? How can I be sure? Well, you and I have something that the disciples didn't have that day on that Sea of Galilee. They had the promise of Jesus as the substitute and Savior for their sins. We have the fulfillment of that promise as we look at that Savior God who hung on the cross to take those sins away from us. They held on to the promises that Jesus made to them. We look back on the fulfillment of those promises. the one who commanded the wind and the sea and they obeyed, we look back at that one hanging on the cross, not by nails or by the spears of those soldiers, but hanging on by the perfect love and care that he had for you to save you from that which troubles you most of anything in all the world, to save you from sin, to rescue you from your doubts, from your fears, from your lack of trust in Jesus' care, your lack of trust in Jesus' ability to save. Jesus died for that there. And we look on that and we see it. And then we apply that to every storm or trouble that we face in this life, both physical or metaphorical. Are we short a pastor here at St. Paul's? Jesus knows. He knows the troubles that we're going to face, and he cares about them. And he will perfectly deliver us from those troubles and sorrows exactly the way that he knows best, in his way and in his time. Are you struggling in other ways in your life, in a marriage, at work, among friends, against enemies? Jesus knows those troubles, and Jesus cares about them. And Jesus will perfectly deliver you from every evil that threatens you in that hour. You don't need to turn away from God in that trouble. Instead, let it drive you ever closer to him, to cling more tightly to him, to trust and rely ever more strongly in your God, and then to follow his direction ever more clearly given in his word in the face of those troubles. Sometimes we encounter troubles in this life that shake our faith in God. The disciples surely did in our text. And they were still young, new to the faith. We face such trials too. How will we respond? Remember who this is. This is the one who cares about all of your troubles. And he showed that he cares by carrying your greatest trouble of sin upon himself to the cross. And then that one rose victoriously from the grave to deliver you from every trouble that you could ever face, eternal death in hell. And he continues to show his care for you by coming to you in word and sacrament to increase that faith, that trust that you have in him in the face of every trouble that you face, to call you to account when you're weak in that faith, to direct you to him who is always strong enough to help. To him who always cares enough to help, and to him who has done the greatest work to take away your greatest trouble, continue to trust in him always. He cares. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.